Shalom, everyone, and welcome to part three of our introduction to Sefer Tehillim, 10 minutes on Tehillim. This will be the last of our three introductions to Tehillim. Yirat Hashem, we're going to begin the actual Sefer Perek Aleph next Tuesday morning. Looking forward very much to learning together. Yirat Hashem, the entire Sefer. It's a few years, a big commitment, but worthwhile, God willing. This last part, we're going to address two questions about the Sefer, really big questions that are important for us to think about as we approach the Sefer. The first question, I want to frame it in a way through a tshuva, a response written by one of the great poskim of the last generation, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, Tzitz Eliezer, who raises the question about the halachos of using Tehillim avur hachola, meaning that normally, even though we discussed in the first week, that Tehillim really is meant to be said in many different contexts, Zmanei Simcha, times of joy, times of need, times of distress, times of illness, many occasions, both positive and negative. But more often than not, unfortunately, we use Tehillim often for Cholim, those who are ill. And he raises the following question. The Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Tesvav Amud Beis, says, Yeshua ben Levi Amar Lohu Lahani Kra Vagani. Yeshua ben Levi said the Pupsukim, he said some verses from the Torah, in order to help himself fall asleep because he was afraid of evil spirits. So asks the Gemara, Hechi Avid Hachi, how could he have done this? How could he have said these Pupsukim from the Torah or from Tanakh in order to ward off these spirits? Vamar Yeshua ben Levi, didn't he himself say, Aser l'hisrapos b'divrei Torah, that you're not allowed to use divrei Torah, psukim from the Torah, as a way to become cured of something. The Gemara says, l'hagein shani. Indeed, the Gemara admits. He says you're not allowed to use psukim, divrei Torah, to heal oneself, but l'hagein, to protect oneself from oncoming things that could attack you or affect you, that you can do. Protection, yes. But lesrapos, to cure oneself from an illness, no. The Gemara clearly seems to indicate that using psukim in order to cure oneself of an illness or a calamity that they're involved in, a situation, is not permitted. And so Rav Waldenberg in his tshuva, Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yazayin, Simen Lamed, addresses this question. He says, don't we see from this Gemara that all psukim, Tehillim included, cannot be used for refuah, cannot be said, for example, the Rambam describes, based on the Gemara, that you can't hover over somebody or think about oneself as a chola and recite psukim in order so that the psukim should be a zechus, a merit, to be able to be healed from this illness. We can't do that. So the Rambam does say that if somebody is a bari, if somebody is healthy, they can use psukim in order to protect themselves. That's the message of the Gemara. But he asks the question he raises from other sources, how can we use Tehillim as we often do as a way to daven for illness? And he has a few different approaches to avert this issue of the Gemara. One of them is he says that it could be the issue, the prohibition to use psukim to cure oneself is only when you use them, you pick out certain psukim, or even certain mizmorim, certain prakim of Tehillim, certain chapters of Tehillim, in order to say for the illness, for the refuah, the betterment of the sick individual. But if you just say Tehillim kesedir, a few prakim in order, having in mind those who are sick, that would not be an issue. Another way he gets around it, he quotes certain Rishonim, that maybe the way we should say Tehillim, he recommends, is by having in mind not just the cholim, but even those who are not cholim. Meaning, have in mind, of course, that the zchus of the amira, saying Tehillim, should defend the cholim, but also the briyim, those who are not ill, should not become ill. By doing so, since we're grouping together both those who are ill and those who are not ill but want protection from that, therefore you can kind of piggyback on those who are well and avoid this issue of using psukim. In the end of the tshuva, he kind of says, these are limudei zchus, these are the ways we can kind of justify those who use Tehillim, because again, there is seemingly an issue from the Gemara in using psukim in order to to better oneself from an illness. There could other possibilities are maybe relevant. One I was thinking about, who am I to suggest? But maybe we could suggest the Gemara said that one cannot use psukim if they are ill, and the Gemara quotes the story here. But maybe that's only if the chola themselves are using the psukim for healing. But if somebody else, avur hachola, on behalf of the chola, decides they want to daven for them, maybe it wouldn't be an issue. Just a thought maybe to think about that tomorrow. But anyway, sof kol sof, just to conclude this first part of our third section here, just to raise the question to realize and think about that it wasn't so simple for us to use Tehillim specifically to heal, because there seems to be an issue with using Divrei Torah, Bichlal in general, for healing, and he gives suggestions how to avoid that. I think probably the pshat in how we use Tehillim when we daven for cholim likely is that idea that it's used not just for the cholim, but even having in mind that further illness should not come on the chola or other people as well, and therefore that's how we avoid this issue. That's part number one for today. Part number two, and our conclusion for the introduction to Tehillim, is really an amazing question. Not my question, of course, the question of the Kutzker Rebbe, who asks the question on a different Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Beis. The Gemara there says that one of the antagonists of Kol Yisrael, Nebuchadnezzar, had a thought. He wanted to try to write a different sefer to kind of push away, to overshadow David HaMelech's sefer Tehillim. And the Gemara says, "Tilmalei lo b'malach v'sitro apiv." If not for the fact that a malach, an angel, came and smacked Nebuchadnezzar on the mouth, it could be he would have succeeded in writing the sefer and maybe overshadowed the sefer of David HaMelech. The most important question of all the questions on this very unique story in the Gemara is that what did he have in mind? What was he going to write, and why did he think it would overshadow that of David HaMelech? The Kutzker Rebbe said an amazing thing. He said that if you read Sefer Tehillim, you'll sometimes notice that certain prakim chapters are thematic, meaning they're about whether it's Yeshua, salvation, they're about refuah, they're about thanks to the Almighty. Certain ones have seen, but certain prakim seem to go like to four different topics. You have thanks, you have healing, you have Yeshua, you have a story in the middle, a reference to something in Jewish history. They kind of are all over the place. And the question is, why? The Kutzker Rebbe said that Nebuchadnezzar saw Sefer Tehillim, and he said, this isn't a tight Sefer, it's not like it's so well organized, I'll write a better one. And Malach stopped him. Why? The Kutzker Rebbe said, because what makes the Sefer Tehillim so unique and so powerful and so meaningful to us is Dafka specifically that it is so disjointed and that it is not flowing. Why? Because it's from the heart. When somebody has a lot of joy in their life, when somebody has a lot of tsar in their life, a lot of distress in their life, or somewhere in the middle, we have to realize that we don't always speak coherently. We're speaking from the emotional side of us. And things come out of our mouth when we're happy, in times of joy, all these great praises to Hashem, praises to our family and friends. We're just overflowing with joy. And chas v'shalom, God forbid, the opposite is true as well. When someone's in a place of difficulty, they say a lot of things, just pouring their heart out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everything in the middle, of course, is true as well. Those are the extremes. But the point is that it's disjointed because that's life. That's natural. That's what a person really speaks like. And Tehillim is supposed to be so representative of how we speak and how we live our lives and how we express ourselves in the most emotional times in our lives. So the great Nebuchadnezzar thought, wow, I'll write a better sefer. It'll be more tight and organized and flowing. And the Malach says, you're missing the point, Nebuchadnezzar. It's not supposed to flow because Tehillim comes from the heart. The Koach, just to come full circle, he asked the first week, why was David HaMelech the great chosen author to present all the kapitlach of all the 10 authors of Tehillim to us as a Sefer HaTanach because he was a person who was, as they say in Yiddish, hearts. He spoke from the heart. It was all emotion. He had a way to tap into that emotion and give us the ability to do so as well. So realize, as we begin Sefer Tehillim Mirsa Hashem next week, realize we're going to see it doesn't always have a flow. And the Farshe HaTehillim, the Farshe HaTanach, struggled sometimes to make sense, to find a flow or a theme in one Sefer, but realize the reason is because it's really all about the emotion. It's natural. It's really how we speak and who we are as human beings that really Tehillim speaks to. Wishing all of you a wonderful day. And Mirsa Hashem, next week we'll begin Perek Aleph of Tehillim. Everyone should stay well.